Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. We're continuing on in a message about what does it mean to be a hundredfold disciple of the Lord Jesus? And significantly, how does that occur? And by simple definition, I guess we could say that to be a hundredfold disciple really consists of fulfilling with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength that first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God above all. We are to love the body of Christ. We're to love our family, love the unsaved. But by comparison, no other love will be as great, as pure, as lofty, as totally committing to this kind of discipleship love to the Lord. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother," and then this is amplified in explanation, that is, in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them, in comparison with his attitude toward God. Obviously, Jesus is saying we're not to hate our family and loved ones, but by comparison, and likewise, his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life. Jesus didn't mince words, did he? And even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's Luke 14:26. This means that the love we have for the Lord makes every other kind of love dim in comparison. And the good part is, if we will love Jesus that way, then all our other relationships will be enriched and be in the depth and fullness of love and compassion and understanding that he desires that we have in our human relationships. Only when Christians will put Jesus really first in their lives and receive this kind of relationship with him can they love others as Christ loves us. This hundredfold discipleship will enable you to love your husband, your wife, your relatives, your children, your neighbors, the unsaved, like you never thought before. Now, let's look at, I'm sharing quite a bit of scripture, but this, you know, this is to what? Substantiate and verify what I'm saying, because these are the words of Jesus. All right, Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." This is not, when he says Jesus talks about losing his life, that doesn't mean, it could mean ultimately martyrdom for the cause in the name of Jesus. But in other words, serving and pleasing our God becomes the most important thing. So taking up our cross does not mean bearing some kind of physical infirmity or some kind of mental agony. You know, that's common to all men. Taking up our cross means that we have chosen to walk a path deliberately, walking after the Lord's word, after the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit. And there's consequences to that, beloved. If you've walked with the Lord any length of time, I'm sure you've experienced it, because taking up your cross will bring persecution and dishonor and bring the reproach of men. but we're not afraid, we're not ashamed, we're not hesitant to willingly follow this path. It means being understood, sometimes even by brothers and sisters in Christ. But in order to be a hundredfold disciples, we have to walk as Jesus Christ walked. We must be fruitful branches, trees of righteousness for the glory of the Lord. Let me read just a few chapters, or not a few chapters, a few verses in Isaiah 61, that chapter, verses 1 through 3. These are the words Jesus quoted, "For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he, the Lord, hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He didn't say in the day of vengeance of our God, that's coming, "but to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." That's what God wants to do in our lives. And he's talking about mourning, the spirit of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And because of great warfare, some of God's people are finding themselves in that place. And so, beloved, in order to be that 100-fold disciple, we must commit to follow the Lord regardless of the cost. Now let's go to Mark, the 12th chapter, and verse 30 says, this is the first and greatest commandment. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And then Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Just a few more scriptures, verses 35 through 38. "By this words of Jesus shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto the Lord, Why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And then the last scripture I'll share with you is John, the 8th chapter, and we're going to read verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Beloved, it isn't good enough to start out in a great, enthusiastic way for the Lord. What really matters is, will we persevere? It's easy to start out good for the Lord, but the real test is continuing to the end. Serving the Lord and walking in erratic obedience to his word really simply won't work. God demands constant, unquestioning obedience, perseverance. He knows the areas that we are weak, but he will strengthen us and enable us. Paul said, "When I'm weak, then I am strong." He called himself the chiefest of sinners. And you know, I just want to pause in the message and just share with you that God, I sense, is really moved. He's been moving on my heart to pray for restoration in relationships. And I believe there are many fractured relationships in the body of Christ. You know, many inmates write, and my heart breaks because their family has cut them off. Sometimes children want nothing to do with parents, siblings are at odds, and the list goes on and on. And only the Lord can heal and restore the work of the enemy that has damaged those important relationships. And I'd like to share just a portion of a letter that I shared recently with my UCM family, my partners. I shared the parable of the prodigal son, and it says that when he went home, the father ran to meet him with open arms. And of course, this is a picture of our Heavenly Father, who's great, has great compassion for his wayward children and desires his truth, the eternal realities of his word, restore them to wholeness. And I go on and write, in this particular parable, Jesus gives the son that was deceived by his own desires and perception had to learn the consequences of his choices. And throughout God's word, we see examples of God continually giving his people the freedom to choose. And the results that occurred in their lives depend on the wisdom of the choices that they made. I give an example. When Solomon disobeyed the Lord, his heart was turned away from God. The prophet Ahijah in 1 Kings 11:31 told Jeroboam that the Lord would rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. The Lord told him that if he would do what was right in God's sight, keeping God's statutes and commandments as David did, listen to this, I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David and will give Israel to thee. That was an amazing promise, but he unfortunately is known as the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He erected golden calves in Dothan and Bethel. And I close the letter with this prophetic word, which I feel to share. My beloved, nothing is impossible with your God. I alone know the secrets of the heart, the hidden motives, and the driving emotions that are behind every evil, as well as every good action and behavior. Only as individuals will humble themselves, submitting to the Spirit of truth, that revelation and true spiritual understanding can come. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Pray for wisdom. Trust me to do the work that transcends all human communication and deals with the very heart and soul of man, says the Lord. And so, beloved, if you are dealing with the hurt of severed relationships, if you have children that are gone off into the world, I do invite you to write. I believe this is a real focus of the Holy Spirit and has been a burden on my heart for so many that are suffering the pain and reproach of severed relationships. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And should you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so I can respond personally, although I will always confirm receipt and pray. I love you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,